Yeah, now you cancel those rocket reservations, plane tickets, bus, rest stops, Pullman arrangements. Where'd those people come from? Are they on a tour here or something? Oh. There they are, folks, the Bob Maurer Singers. Summertime Monitor 72, ranging this weekend from, just about everything, I guess. We're going to talk to a young man who co-authored a new book called The Unmaking of the Beatles, telling us what contributed to their financial and artistic breakup. And we'll lace it all together with some of the all-time best Beatles numbers. And I think an appropriate opener is this one. Are you ready? Go. You remember it.
Help. I need somebody. Help. Not just anybody. Help. You know I need someone. Help. When I was young, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. And now these days are gone, I've got so self-assured. Now I find, a change of mind, I've opened up a door.
Well, you know, I've spoken to many people on Monitor, and if you know me and you've heard any of my shows, you do know that I sometimes try to do an English accent. I'm an Anglophile, and I'm always so thrilled to be able to talk to a gentleman from England. And in front of me now, we have Peter McCabe, who is so typically British. He looks so typically British. In good shape, you know, rather lean. And more than that, he's a talented young man, and he's written a book that I think you're going to want to read. I know. And I'm honest with you, I have the book in my hand now. I have not read it yet, but I'm so excited and waiting to read this. The Beatles. We're going to talk about the Beatles. It's called The Unmaking of the Beatles, Apple to the Core. Peter McCabe and Robert Schoenfeld wrote it. Peter is from Britain, and he's our Monitor guest. And so nice to have you here, first of all.
Thank you, Ted.
Well, the prologue of the book is a kind of a two-page takeoff on the classic fairy tale about the goose that laid the golden eggs and the subsequent, I guess, killing of that goose. Peter, would you say that's a fair comparison with what happened to the Beatles, financial and their artistic empire?
I think so. The the first good farmer was, of course, Brian Epstein, under whom the Beatles as a group and as individuals prospered both from a musical point of view, mm-hmm. and from a financial point of view. Then they fell prey to two parties who were somewhat less responsible with respect to their with respect to their money and their artistic careers.
Well, now, where were you born in England?
I was born in Liverpool.
So you really know about the Beatles, and there's what kind of chronologically how do you fit into that era?
I was first went to the Cavern in Liverpool, which was the club where they started in 1958.
You heard them there?
And I heard them there long before they became famous. They were very, they were four, actually at the time, there were five very rough and ready layabouts. They wore black leather jackets, they ate sandwiches, they would spit into the audience occasionally. They were a lot different from when they first appeared on American TV.
Is that right?
Ed Sullivan.
No
right.
kidding.
They
what
were,
kind
they
of
were
music
as rough
were they,
as they come.
What kind of music were they playing? Their own?
And they were playing some of their own tunes, but for the most part, it was the old hard rock and roll of Bill Haley, Elvis Presley, Chuck Berry, Eddie Cochran, Gene Vincent. Four very typically rough and ready lads who had gotten together and formed a rock and roll band. There was nothing spectacular about them until they went to Hamburg, and they came back from Hamburg with tremendous experience because they had been playing eight-hour stints in some of the roughest, toughest clubs in Europe. And there's no doubt that that's where they learned to perform. I personally observed the difference, and it was incredible.
Well, when you say roughest, toughest clubs in what do you mean by roughest, toughest? Do you mean audiences who expected more from them?
No, Lennon has a section in Apple to the Core in which he describes these clubs. He recalls that at one time the local German thugs would come into the club at 3 o'clock in the morning. They liked the group. They would bring in a crate of champagne. They would tell the Beatles to drink the champagne and then do Good Golly Miss Molly. And although the Beatles had probably had more than just a few champagnes too many, they felt obliged to do it.
Gee, that's marvelous. So that's the kind of thing you get in this book, folks, if you're listening, and it really is fascinating. Peter, let's just hold it for 1 second, because we've got to do a little business here. And then we'll come back and we'll talk more about Apple to the Core, The Unmaking of the Beatles, a marvelous book written by Peter McCabe.
Excuse me, waitress, could I ask you a question?
You one of them wise guys?
Oh, no. I'd just like to know what you think about pickups.
Ah, you are one of them wise guys, huh?
I mean a pickup truck.
Oh.
Do you know which pickup works like a truck and rides like a car?
No.
Well, it's Ford. Do you know which pickup is available now at low sell-down prices?
You sure you ain't one of them wise guys?
It's Ford again.
Oh, I get it. I can pick up a pickup during my Ford dealer's big selling sell-down.
Right.
Hey, you know, you're kind of cute. I'll see you tonight at your Ford dealer's.
All right, loves, we're back again, eh? But not for long now, because I want you all to know, all you stations out there, all you folks going through Beatlemania, that you are on the Monitor Beacon. Boing, 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 boing. A monitor tip for a cleaner America. If you're camping out, make a list of the really functional equipment you'll need so you can lighten the load. In other words, take along your 8-track stereo set, your color TV, the toboggan, the ice skates, and the 36x48 high-pile carpeting. You're going to need them. Now, another tip to keep America clean.
You've got to pitch in to clean up America.
This message is from the people of the United States Brewers Association and Associated Industries.
Okay, we're right back with the Beatles and Beatlemania. And right now I think we ought to give you a sample of the great Beatles music. And this is one of the great songs, Yesterday.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. Place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
Well, we're back again with our guest Peter McCabe, a young man from England who wrote a marvelous book that's going to really thrill all you Beatle fans out there. It's called The Unmaking of the Beatles, Apple to the Core, the truth that's never been told before about the breakup of the Beatles. Now, Peter, you've told us about the Liverpool beginnings. Brian Epstein, I think we all know, played a very important part in their career. Now, when did he appear?
Brian appeared in 1961, and he at the time was running a small record store in Liverpool. He had never managed any group before. He had never even been involved in the pop scene other than having this particular store. He liked the Beatles very much. He was very attracted to them. He thought they had a great potential as an entertainment phenomenon, and although nobody believed him, he certainly did have the ability to promote and present them in a way that not only appealed to kids, but I think appealed to a much wider cross-section of ages. Mm-hmm. For example, he insisted that they bow at the end of their appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. And I think that sort of little minute gesture won over the hearts of so many older Americans that the Beatles were able to go beyond the scope of a typical band.
They weren't spitting in the audience at that time.
No, certainly not.
What happened when Brian Epstein died? It seemed to me that the Beatles' empire seemed to crumble.
That's exactly what happened. Brian personally supervised every detail of not only their personal lives, but every aspect of their careers. He would work pretty much a 15 or 16-hour day devoted exclusively to the Beatles. He was absolutely dedicated to them. And I think it's true to say that Brian wasn't entirely motivated by money. He saw beyond simply money. After he died, the Beatles thought they could manage themselves for a while, and of course they proved themselves wrong. Then they fell into the hands of two parties, Alan Klein, who is now the manager of Three, and the Eastman family, who were Paul McCartney's in-laws, who somewhat split the group by the fact that they were more concerned with their own financial gain than with the Beatles as a whole. And the divisiveness that was already within the group, because contrary to popular myth, they did quarrel a great deal among themselves, was only enhanced mm-hmm. by this sudden appearance of two managers.
Yes, I would believe that. I would believe that they had done so much, and they had been the originators of so many things, and they were such really brilliant musicians, I think, and composers, three of them anyway, I doubt if they could have stayed together, really, even if Brian Epstein had lived.
I think that's true. I think that they would have been. The last few years, we've seen a number of rock groups who've split up, maybe done solo records, and then gotten back together for a joint effort on an album, and I think that's understandable for any artist to do
now,
that.
You have actual quotes of Beatles telling the story in their own words in this book.
Correct.
Now, let me give you a few word association things here. Yoko Ono.
Very tough, very direct, knows what she wants, lady, dominates John Lennon, no doubt about that. John respects her as an artist, and I think she feels the same way about him.
The courts.
The courts was one long, horrible, ugly, drawn-out battle that was splashed all over the British headlines for many weeks. It was a case of washing your dirty linen in public. And Paul McCartney seemed to want that.
Pop is demon.
Pop is demon is Alan Klein, the toughest wheeler dealer that the pop business has ever known, probably.
The Eastmans.
Very smooth.
Watch it. Lee Eastman's a friend of mine.
Uh-huh. He's a very good lawyer, too.
He sure is.
Very smooth, very sophisticated, skilled copyright lawyers. Great interest, I would say, in money. But not too much responsibility concerning the Beatles.
Nat Weiss.
Nat Weiss was Brian Epstein's business partner and was responsible for giving me most of the information about Brian Epstein, which has never been published before.
Peter, you didn't get to talk to Paul McCartney, did you?
No, we didn't.
But maybe from the others, did you get any information on, remember when there was it swept the world that Paul McCartney was dead,
right,
and that they had really set it in the album, and that the cover picture had overtones of him not being on this earth anymore. What was that, a big put-on?
No, it wasn't a put-on. It was the album jacket. Those details on the album jacket were totally accidental. The rumor started out in the Midwest. There was a student there who had put together a thesis and handed it to a radio station, and the radio station decided to broadcast it on the air just for a joke, and it took off from there. At the time, Paul was far from dead, but I think, in fact, he was on his farm in Scotland, being a recluse. But one thing you can safely say about that business was that the album was Abbey Road, and Abbey Road sold more records than any other Beatle album. There is nothing like death for promoting a record.
I know. I slowed it down and listened to it, and tried to hear what they were saying. Well, it was just another part of the great Beatle empire, Beatlemania. Well, Peter, I thank you for writing the book. I really do, because I think it's going to bring a lot of pleasure and fill a certain void in the lives of a lot of people who lived through this era.
I think it's probably a more realistic approach in terms of rock books than we've seen before.
It's called The Unmaking of the Beatles, Apple to the Core, and written by Peter McCabe, a young Britisher who was here. He was written also, had help, Robert D. Schoenfeld wrote that with you. And he's been our guest on Monitor, and I thank you very much for being here. And anytime you want to take me back to England with you, I'll be glad to go.
I'll try, Ted. Thank you.
When I say Made in Detroit, what do you think of?
Automobiles.
What car companies can you think of?
GM. Chrysler, Ford.
When I say engineering, which of those companies do you think of?
GM.
Do you know what company came up with the first fluid drive?
I'm not sure. I'm tempted to say Chrysler.
Right. Do you know what company first offered power steering?
Chrysler.
Uh-huh. Now, do you know the first company to use torsion bar suspension in all its cars?
Also Chrysler. I'm picking up a pattern here.
What I'm trying to prove, what you're proving for me, is, of course, that when I say engineering now, which one of those car companies do you think of?
Now I would say Chrysler.
Which is actually true, which is what most people do say. Unibody construction.
Now that you mentioned, when I think of Chrysler, it's the engineering that I think of.
When you mention Chrysler, it's extra care in engineering. The 1972 cars of the Chrysler Corporation, Chrysler, Plymouth, and Dodge.
And you take extra care, too. Buckle up. Use seat and shoulder belts.
Did you enjoy that interview with Mr. McCabe? I did. I enjoyed talking to him, and last night, by the way, I read the book, and it's a fabulous book. You really should read it. It is a hatchet job on the Beatles, and it's interesting. Well, I think we ought to finish with the Beatles, The Long and Winding Road.
The long and winding road. Disappear. I've seen that road before. It always leads me here. Lead me to your door.
on the long and winding road. All right, we've got a station break all along the NBC party line. That winding road, and then Monitor and May Yamanak Trueblood return to pick up where we left off.
From the first wave of delegate arrivals to the final burst of oratory, this is Peter Hackus inviting you to follow full coverage of the 1972 Republican National Convention on NBC Radio.
Swanson, hostess for the New York Summer Festival. I think one of the most fascinating things you can do this summer is to tour New York's neighborhoods. Yorkville, Harlem, Chinatown, see Little Italy, the Arab section of Brooklyn, and all the others. Go there, communicate with people, try the food. New York is truly a summer festival.
5 minutes of Monitor music for you, beginning with the Lady Drummer.
Doing Goodbye to Love, and No Sneak, and then the Renaissance plays I'll Never Fall in Love Again. Now, No Sneak is a radio term meaning shut up because they come in singing right away. All right? Goodbye to Love, and I'll Never Fall in Love Again. Remember that now because we're going to ask musical questions afterwards.
I'll say goodbye to love. No one ever cared if I should live or die. Time and time again, the chance for love has passed me by, and all I know of love is how to live without it. I just can't seem to find it. So I've made my mind up, I must live my life alone. And though it's not the easy way, I guess I've always known I'd say goodbye. Tomorrow's for this heart of mine. Surely time will lose these bitter memories, and I'll find that there is someone to believe in and to live for, something I could live for. All the years of useless search have finally reached an end.
Thank you.
Listen, for just a moment, to the sounds of quality. The incomparable Stradivarius playing Mozart. The harpsichord in the work of Johann Sebastian Bach. The firm chunk of a car door closing. The car, it's American Motors Gremlin, the first of the American little cars, proving in only one of many ways, in how it sounds, that it is the quality leader in its field. Quality, you see, is the important word at American Motors. You find it in the smoothness of Gremlin's six-cylinder engine, in its rock-solid feel of the road, in its contoured seats. Quality, the kind that doesn't cost a lot. Make a great deal on a great car at your American Motors dealer today and get the exclusive American Motors Buyer Protection Plan. If we weren't building them better, we couldn't back them better.
Well, what do you know? This is the Motors Show.
Wow, 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 wow. I love to play my wah-wah. Do you ever play your wah-wah? It's funny thing about playing a wah-wah, it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, because there are old wah-wahs and young wah-wahs. And if you're an older fella playing a younger wah-wah, well, look out. You may not play it as many times as you'd like, but you can play it better, usually, than you used to. Now, would somebody please explain to me what I just said, and I'd be very happy to continue. Anyway, we'll have some pretty good things coming up. American History, a story about Benjamin Franklin coming up shortly, how he left a motel with a key, forgot to turn it in, you know. And with that key, of course, you know what happened. And we'll go fishing with Kurt Gowdy and his guest Key West. Oh, no, I didn't read that right, did I? We'll go fishing with Kurt Gowdy and his guest Key West fishing guide Bob Montgomery. Monitor music first, though. This is Listen to a Country Song with Lynn Anderson. Come on, honey, kick a few pebbles for us.
Saturday night and my daddy's up late picking with my Uncle Bill. The neighbors don't mind cause they have a good time sipping on my pappy still. Old brother Ben got a fiddle in his hand and mama's on the mandolin. When the music is right and the band gets tight, you ought to see them pick and grin and everybody starts moving. Jack sneaks up from the back trying to get to Sister Sue. Well, she throws him on the ground without turning around. She knows a little jujitsu. Everybody starts moving to the sound of the guitar strums. Everybody starts grooving to the beat of the rhythm and drums. So come along, let yourself really go. Rock to the music and fun. Sit back, wine, and have a really good time and listen to a country song. Everybody starts moving.
That's little Lynn Anderson and Listen to a Country Song. Now, you say American history seems dull to you, huh?
Well, not to us here on Monitor. As long as we have John Doremus. All right, you jump right in any time, John.
August 2nd, 1776. The Continental Congress convenes to present the Declaration of Independence to its delegates for their signatures. 56 men are about to achieve immortality while risking their lives, fortunes, and prestige. One of these men, much older than the others, is an ex-printer named Benjamin Franklin. This is John Doremus with the Spirit of 76, a series presented by your neighborhood Union Oil dealer in the interest of perpetuating our great American traditions. The Spirit of 76 lives at Union Oil. As the delegates to Congress gathered, old Ben Franklin must have reflected on the years of great achievement that had brought him world renown. Was he now to throw all that away on a lost cause? Did he reminisce about how he was apprenticed to his older brother as a printer's devil at the age of 12? It had been the beginning of everything for him, leading to this moment in history. He had begun a program of self-instruction and discipline that was to become a lifelong quest. Developing as the nation grew, Ben Franklin provided new answers to its changing needs. At 24, he became the sole owner of the Pennsylvania Gazette. Then to a series of civic projects and public offices. In the scientific field, Franklin had already become world famous for his achievements in electricity. In 1754, Franklin proposed a plan to unite the colonies under an American legislature. He then spent 18 years in England as Pennsylvania's agent, and upon his return to America, he became a member of the Continental Congress. He had helped draft the Declaration of Independence. Surely, he thought, had he not done enough for his country? He was an old man doing a young man's work. Must he now risk life and fortune as well?
Robert Morris.
Ben studied the patriots around him. Each one was stepping forward, prepared to pledge his life, fortune, and sacred honor for an ideal.
Benjamin Franklin of Pennsylvania.
His own name was being called. It was his turn to sign. I'll have the rest of the story right after this message from Union Oil.
There are places along the interstate where you can get gasoline. And there are places where you can get a bite to eat. Maybe places where you can shop, too. But did you know that there are also places where you can do all of these things in one stop? They're called Union 76 Auto Truck Stops, strategically located on the nation's interstates. Union 76 Auto Truck Stops offer 24-hour car service, restaurants, clean restrooms, a travel store, and the kind of spirit you're used to at home. So, the next time you're traveling and you need gas, service for your car, a good meal, or just directions, drive into a Union 76 Auto Truck Stop. You'll be treated like a regular customer, not like a stranger. But that's just one of the reasons why the Spirit of 76 lives at Union Oil.
When Ben Franklin heard his name, there was no indecision. As Hancock signed, he cautioned, "We must be unanimous. There must be no pulling different ways. We must all hang together." Franklin accepted the quill. Yes, he smiled. "We must all hang together, or most assuredly we shall all hang separately." He then signed the document. Benjamin Franklin died on April 17, 1790. The best known and most respected American of his time. A man who typified the Spirit of 76. The Spirit of 76 has been presented by your neighborhood Union Oil dealer in the interest of perpetuating our great American traditions.
Just stay where you are. That will bring you more.
More, darling. You bet your cotton-picking life will bring you more. Why, even Kurt Gowdy and his guest, a Key West fishing guide, will be along shortly. Talk about how to catch permit fish. Never heard of them, huh? You married one. Now, listen, they're supposed to be the fighting... They're the fightingest fisher around, I'll tell you. You take the bait, and I'll be back, and you stay right on the monitor beacon.
Imagine you're driving to Natchez, Mississippi, passing one luxurious old mansion after another. And imagine you're in the luxurious new Chevrolet Caprice, where you stretch out on richly upholstered foam seating and find conveniences like power steering and automatic transmission standard. Imagine that, or let Caprice make it all come true.
Chevrolet, building a better way to see the USA.
Second down, the ball is on the 30-yard line. Johnson calling signals. Tight end is split out to the left. Johnson moves back in the pocket.
Insurance Company of North America brings you the sounds of the football season just a little early with a reminder to drive safely.
He's over! He's over! It's a touchdown!
If only to find out who wins the Super Bowl next year.
Well, now, Ted Brown back again, my darling, my love, my angel, my pet. I'm talking to you, my dear. Yes, indeed. Mister, I'm going to talk to you, too. Now, listen, first of all, if you've been married 15 years, 20 years, just got married, if you're single, you've been gone together, if you've just met, I don't care, you know, just what it is. I know one thing. If you're going to stay together, you've got to make sure at least that the guy knows what you're really like. And I can prove it to him. That's right. I know what you're really like down deep. I mean, what you really want to be like. So, if you want to make it together all the way through life, as long as ye both shall live, right? Then, honey, up on your feet and show that man what it's all about. Go get him, Tiger.
Like before you joined the women's lift. Yeah. Oh, if you're home, come on out of the kitchen. Kick off that orthopedic body stocking you got on and grab hold of those grates. All right. Coming out of chute number 3. Married. 4 children. But baby, look at her go. Oh, dynamite Diane. Look out now. If you think he doesn't like it, just listen to him. Yeah. Come on, baby, move it. Atta girl. I don't care if you're in Minnesota, Florida, Louisiana, makes no difference. Here we go. Oh, look out now. 36, 22, 34. Oh, Lily St. Cyr started this way. Whee! Look at that light come to his eyes. I told you you'd make him. He's up on his feet. He's an animal. Look out. All right. Send the kids back to mom. Pull the shades. And look out.
Ra-ba-ba. Ba-da-ja-jo. Oh, you got it made, honey. Hey! All right, bring it up. Let me hear it.
Fresh!
The 72 Ford Torino is America's best-selling midsize car. Why are so many people all across the country buying Ford's Torino? Well, it could be.
The ride. We bought it for the ride. They've got a new suspension. Ride smooth. Smooth and
quiet. Our Ford Torino's the quietest riding car that size I was ever in. Well, that is when the kids are asleep. Anyway, we drove it from
Dover to Wilmington. You're going 50-55, then you hit those lights. But this Torino's got it. Standard equipment, mind you. Front disc brakes for sure.
Stops, turns, parks really easy. They tell me the Ford Motor Company redesigned their mid-sized cars this year. At least that's what I
understand. I'm not saying it's the world's greatest car ever at any price. Just that with the quiet and the room and the handling, our new Ford Torino was a lot more car than we expected. No question about it. If I were you, I'd
see a Ford dealer today.
Listening better. Building better. That's Ford.
And now Kurt Gowdy and friend.
That's right. His guest is Key West fisherman Bob Montgomery. Kurt?
You need a permit to do a lot of things in America, but the name permit also can raise the hackles on any kind of a fisherman. He is really the trophy fish of light tackle fishermen in this country. What is a permit, Bob?
Well, he's a big fish that you find on the flats with a big forked tail. That's, I tell you the way I explain permit fishing to a lot of customers, Kurt. I tell them it's about an 8-hour day of boredom poling the flats interrupted by a moment of stark terror.
We're visiting here with Bob Montgomery, one of the top fishing guides in the Key West, Florida area. We're talking about the permit. The permit comes in and feeds in the shallow water, right?
Right. As you remember, Kurt, how long we'd been on the flats this morning before we got to? 45 minutes?
45 minutes. Then we could go maybe days and not get another one, right?
That's true. I consider an average of one or two permit a day a good day's permit fishing.
The permit is a member of the pompano family, isn't he?
Right. He's officially listed as a great round pompano, but he's such a game fish. I would say he's the top fish sought after by light tackle anglers.
How would you describe him?
Well, he's a tough fish. First of all, you have to stalk him. You have to be a very accurate caster to put a little live crab or bucktail in front of him. And once he takes it, then you just have to hang on. He takes good tackle and good stamina on the sportsman end of it, and he's just a tough all-around fish.
He's a fish so thick that he fights you broadside, which makes it tougher. He's a wild bird flitting across the flats.
He sure is. You can understand if you ever see a permit's ribs. It's like your hand. These huge bone fish, powerful tail, and he just really tear off that flats.
What are the best times of the year to fish in the Key West area for permit?
I would say late April right on through August, Kurt.
What's the biggest permit one of the clients in your boat has ever taken?
We've taken some 43-pound permit. It was the largest we've taken.
And the world record is 50 pounds?
50 and a half.
That's a big permit.
It was taken here last year.
And what are your favorite baits to use for permit?
Well, if someone really wants a permit in a hurry, I'll use a live crab about the size of a silver dollar.
And next best?
A little brown bucktail that we commonly call a Popeye jig.
So you would rate the permit probably as a top trophy fish in America right now for a light tackle angler?
Yes, I sure would.
And there are very few places the permit is found, in tropical water.
That's right, and we have them in abundance down here.
That's Bob Montgomery, the fishing guide from Key West, Florida. And this is Kurt Gowdy for Monitor Sports.
Thank you, Kurt. That was very interesting. I'd never heard of a permit fish until you just told me about it. Now, we've got sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Now, I've caught rainbows, I've caught a few lollipops, and I've gotten a lot of sunshine. Come on, Jake.
Lollipops and rainbows, everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together. Brighter than a lucky penny when you're near the rain. Disappears, dear, and I feel so fine just to know that you are mine. My life is sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. That's how this rain goes, so come on, join in. Everybody, sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is sure to come your way. God, you're in love to stay. What I feel when we're together, brighter than a lucky penny. And when you're near, the rain goes, disappears, dear, and I feel so fine just to know that you are mine. My life is sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. That's how the street rain goes, so come on, join in. Everybody, sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is sure to come your way.
That's Jack Jones and Sunshine, Lollipops, and Rainbows, and a lot of bell ringing. Boing, boing, a monitor tip for hikers and campers. Instead of fresh fruit, pack dried fruit for that hiker camp out, will you? 1 pound of dried fruit equals 6 pounds of apples. But just don't drink any water, because that dried fruit will then swell up to 120 pounds. Now, this word for outdoors and the on-the-road times.
tuna fish salad again. What did your wife pack you?
Spare ribs with sauce all over.
Yeah, and a box of napkins for the way you eat.
No, she packed soap and water to go.
When you want soap and water to go, you want wash and dry. They refresh while you scrub, get you clean like soap and water, and they can't fall apart like napkins can.
You mean to tell me you got soap and water in your lunch pail?
Yeah.
Shake it. I didn't hear nothing.
Wash and dry. Soap and water to go without the sloshing.
We've got Percy Faith now on an old-fashioned sing. You want to hear it? Okay, play it for you. Now, for those of you who have been calling in from Cincinnati, L.A., and the bayous down in Louisiana telling me it's not an old-fashioned sing, it's an old-fashioned love song, I want to thank you very much, but there was no need to call collect because we really knew that. I just do that every now and then to see if you're paying attention, tell you the truth. And you are. You are. Well, now, this may also sound old-fashioned, but it's nice. Very nice to keep up with what's happening. And you can do that next. Right here on NBC Monitor. We're going to have news on the hour, so you stay on the line. And then I shall return. Theodore Brown, my maiden name is J. Benson Fong, and I'll be here with a cast of thousands, so don't you dare move, you hear? Ah, you moved.
Oh, that's terrible.
What's wrong? What's so wrong?
What a bunch of trash that is.
Oh?
Just typically bad.
Bad. Very bad.
Sure.